May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Amen. It is very fitting and proper, isn't it, that this second Sunday in Advent, once again, our focus is on the end of days. Yes, Advent prepares us for the celebration of our Lord's birth, but more importantly, just like all of our lives as Christians is, it points us forward to Christ's return. When you read the news headlines, it's pretty bleak. It's miserable. It's gray and latter days that we're living in. In fact, just this last week, I was disturbed to see that a judge in Indiana blocked its abortion law, which even protected the life of the mother and had other exceptions, because it said it was against religious freedom. As though only Christians care about unborn children. But even if it is only Christians that care about unborn children, and I know that it's not, isn't that worth fighting for? Isn't it worth standing up and proclaiming this is a fundamental right given by God to life? It is the first right, not given by the government, but acknowledged by the government as given by God, our Creator, the Maker. He gave the gift of life. This week, I also watched as the Senate once again tried to redefine what God had already defined. Did you not know that in the beginning, God created them male and female? That a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The government does not have the right to redefine what God very clearly lays out in Scripture, and 6,000 years of understanding and common sense already understood that marriage is a God-given gift between a man and a woman for the furthering of our society, for procreation, not just for the things that go along with the marriage bed. But that society might continue. Marriage is essential because marriage is the gift that gives life as God knits it together. All I ever hear otherwise is that the seas are rising, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, all of these things happening, and it's all your fault. How dare you drive a car? How dare you have any children at all? I'm somehow told that if you have children, you are committing a great wrong against our Mother Earth. That's paganism. That is a lie of the devil. Now, I have no doubt that the seas do change. And you know what? Some of the land that is now with us might actually be covered with water. Just like some water might expose land over time. But what I also know is that the whole world will not flood again. And you know how I know that? Not because some child told me in a foreign country, but because God's word dictates it. God promised never to send a worldwide flood again. And I believe it because I believe God's word. But I also know that this earth will be destroyed. That the seas and dry land will cease, that all of this creation will pass away. And you know what? I'm looking forward to it. You see, all this bad news all the time, 24/7, can make a person look down at the ground, can make a person feel defeated. But for the Christian, aren't we looking forward to these things? Think about these words from Jesus. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waters roaring, men's hearts failing from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Yes, all these things will pass away. But as a Christian, I look forward to it. It's easy for me to read the news and hang my head down low. Because a country that I love, a country that God has placed me in, is so quickly turning away from Him. And that could cause me to panic. That could cause me to despair. And yet, I am still going to walk around with a smile on my face. And do you know why I'm going to do that? Because Jesus Christ has securely made me a place in heaven. That this earth will pass away, but there is a new and perfect earth coming. That Jesus Christ is going to return. I know without a doubt that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And that He died for the sins of the whole world. So while this whole world groans and it mourns, I still have a reason to hope. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. You see, we as Christians could be like the rest of the world, full of despair, full of depression, full of suicide and anxiety, but instead, we have a reason to hope. Reason is Jesus. Jesus conquers the anxiety. He conquers the depression. He conquers all these things that try to steal us away from faith, hope, and love in Him. Yes, I could look around at a world that has rejected Him and be so filled with despair that I could never move again. But then how will they see Jesus? You see, dear church, the world wants you to be full of despair as it is. Because it doesn't want the hope that is in you to get out. It doesn't want other people to see that there is still a reason to have joy in this world. It's not in the earthly things. It's in Jesus. When you look around you today, you see brothers and sisters in Christ. You might see a husband or a wife, your children or your grandchildren. These are wonderful gifts from the Lord. They are the second most important thing. The world can have all of our earthly possessions. In a world of chaos, where there are wars and there are rumors of wars, where buying simple things might cost you an arm and a leg, you still have a reason to have joy because you have Jesus. And if your children are here with you today, and even if they're not, give them Jesus. Let them hear why you have joy. Walk around with a smile on your face so that when others look at you, they say, "Why are you so happy?" Say, "Because I have Jesus. Let me tell you about the God that so loved me that He sent His only begotten Son to suffer and die in my stead on the cross. And let me tell you about Him because He didn't just do it for me. He did it for you too. I want you to be where I am so that the world can't control you anymore. I want you to be where I am because I want to be with you for eternity." That's the promise. So that when the earth does quake and the seas roar and foam, our heads are looking up. So that when the clouds separate and the trumpets sound, our hearts are looking up in joy. You pray these words, hopefully day after day after day, "Thy kingdom come." But I want you to actually mean those words. Because I think too long now, our society has been so good toward Christianity that when we prayed those words, we didn't really mean it. No, our lives were pretty good, weren't they? There wasn't much in the way of persecution. But I think that there has to be. And while I wish my children and your children would have an easy life, that's simply not the way it's going. No, our prayer is, "Thy kingdom come." Our prayer is that Jesus Christ returns. Our prayer is, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." And maybe when things are so good, we don't actually see that we need that. Maybe we don't really want Jesus to return. Maybe we want to have one more Super Bowl win, or whatever it is that we look forward to here on this life. But if that is the case, return to the Lord. Thy kingdom come. Lord, please return. Take us out of this veil of sorrows, this veil of tears, and bring us to yourself in heaven. Martin Luther wrote these words many years ago. But when all of this begins to happen, look up and lift up your heads, for your salvation is approaching, Luke 21. You would like to respond, who could lift up his head here in such horrid wrath and judgment? All the world will be terrified on that day and duck their heads way down and stare at the ground with fear and terror. But how will we look up and hold up our head, which certainly shows that we must be filled with joyful anticipation? This can only be said of the Christian who is a true Christian. If we are true Christians, we pray these same things fervently. From the bottom of our hearts, if we do not pray this, thy kingdom come, if we do not take it seriously, then we are not yet true Christians. But if we truthfully pray this, then this must also truly remain in us. That's why we behold these signs of the end, with joy and anticipation, no matter how terrifying they are. It is as Christ exhorts and speaks here, when these things happen, look up. He doesn't say to be afraid or to duck your head under. What is coming is what we have been praying for. To the believers, he will be faithful and loving. That day will be both the highest joy and safety for believers, and for the unbelievers, the highest terror and rout. Just as it is also true in this life that the gospel truth is by far the sweetest thing to the pious, the most hateful thing for the evil. Why should believers fear this and not rejoice in the highest? For they trust in Christ, and the judge comes for the sake of their salvation. He is their portion. Dear church, our prayer is, thy kingdom come. Our prayer is, amen, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we still have some work to do. The church needs to be solely focused on the Lamb, and so filled with the joy that is the resurrection that is coming that we can't keep it to ourselves. That we shout it from the rooftops, from the mountaintops, that every hill is made low, every valley is raised up, that the truth that is Jesus Christ is proclaimed. Look. This day, look up to the altar in which Jesus brings you his body and his blood for you to eat and to drink and receive the forgiveness of sins. And look up to the heavens. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. The church sings, the bridegroom soon will call us. Come to the wedding feast. May slumber not befall us, nor watchfulness decrease. May all our lamps be burning with oil enough and more, that we, with him returning, may find an open door. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.